Welcome to episode 107 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British Soaps Institution, Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 28th and the 30th of July 2014.
Yeah,
we're going... A short amount of time.
Short time, we're going on holiday tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going on a holiday.
Yeah, going to Marseille.
Marseille.
Yeah, we're like leaving the house at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, but that's not stopped us from doing a podcast. Oh no, but we will be.
It really should have done.
No, we're pretty much packed, aren't
we? You've packed your pants. That's all you need, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easy for boys. But it also means we might be editing the podcast as we go along rather than leaving it until afterwards. So I apologise if there's any
swearing or being rude about people that shouldn't be rude about, because that's mostly what we edit out.
Yeah.
Sneezing, sometimes farting from Michael.
Thank you very much.
And so if any of that remains, just quickly send us an email.
The next episode is going to be like in a week and a half's time, because we'll be back in time for the end of next week, won't we?
And it'll be an extra bumper long one,
yes,
that we sometimes do when we have to do an extra half a week. But that's not important right now, because we have to do Corrie history. There's only a couple of things this week.
It's only gone over
about
a few days.
It's been 50 years since Hilda became the Rover's cleaner.
Oh, and then she was cleaner for like 23 years or something like that.
And Anna has proudly picked up her
She's been
very
at 23
dusty
minutes.
Mantle. Yeah, exactly.
When you're a cleaner in those days, you're stayed the course.
Job for life.
Yeah.
But of those these days, that's what the problem is.
No.
I blame David Cameron.
Everything's his fault. And 40 years since Gail's first appearance, which is in the news this week. Well, it was on a couple of websites. They were like, here's pictures of Gail as the years go
Look
by.
Look how little she was.
Yeah.
Aww.
And it makes me, it's a bit weird that they've had that Gail documentary. When was it? Like a couple of months ago, didn't
they?
And
they
not now.
They didn't really think it through, did they?
40 years, she's still going strong. It's quite good because, I mean, she's in like the top 10 of longest running characters. There's obviously like the likes of Ken and whatever that are been longer than her. But out of all of those in the top 10, I think she's the one that still consistently has like the biggest storylines. And she's more of a main character.
Weren't they saying in the soap that the Platt family is kind of like the street mafia, and they kind of consider themselves to be like the main family almost?
Yeah. Well, it's not the Barlows particularly anymore, is it?
No.
Although Ken coming back soon,
he's going to
be taken
to
over. Right, so let's get on with talking about this week's episodes in Street Talk. Okay, so let's start off with this week's Street Talk. We had the Rodwell incident, possibly the conclusion of that, although
hard to believe that can really be the end.
I assume it's not, because I don't think Les Dennis is leaving anytime soon.
He's got a sweet gig now.
Well, he was even tweeting this week. I think he's still like in his... he's still excited to be in the programme. He's like, oh, I'm so proud to be with Helen Worth on her 40th anniversary this week. He's very excited. So
Helen Worth, the old veteran, going, noob.
Well, from Les Dennis, we then move on to Les Dennis. Sadly, as Dennis Tanner leaves the street again.
Again.
Less angry about it than I was when he left, like, 6 months ago, whenever it was, in the back of Gloria's car.
I don't want that to be the end of him.
Well,
but I'm sure that it is.
I think this is the end of him, unfortunately. It wasn't a brilliant exit, unfortunately, but at least he got to finger his carving.
Yep, moving on.
No editing, let's go, let's move on.
Roy's reading rally. We had a bit of Yasmin's sort of protesting. And
she's so good, I love Yasmin.
She's
the best Nazir, definitely.
So far. Yeah, she is the best Nazir.
The storyline today fell flat a little bit because they all kind of gave up, didn't they?
It faltered a little bit. It would have been better if this had been the first of double episode, I think.
Yeah, they could have let it go on for a little bit longer, but I mean, at least her and Roy are there. But to be honest, it looks like Roy's not got his heart in it, unfortunately.
I also think that it's the beginning of them trying to make Craig into a comic character, maybe. But we'll talk about that more.
He's been a bit more of a comic character, anyway. But
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, Faye,
that's not a story yet. Although it could be. Faye did some stuff on Monday, but let's talk about the Platts. So it's not just the Michael bits. It's also with got Nick and Leanne's mediation meeting mixed in there as well, because he's off there. That was what Monday's episode, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Gail telling him to be positive.
Nick and Leanne going to mediation to sort out their divorce without having to go through the courts, because as we know, every other episode Leanne tells Nick that she wants to work things out, and then the following episode she tells him she hates him and she's going to see him in court. I need to follow up the next episode with, no, I want to work this out properly like grown-ups. Followed by the next episode, I hate you, I'll see you in court. At the moment, she's on, let's work this out like grown-ups. So Gail's giving Nick a bit of a pep talk to get him prepared in a positive mood for the mediation. And Nick, Cal and Eva are doing the same thing to Leanne. So they both supposedly arrive in a positive manner. Although Nick still snipes at Gail when she gets a phone call from Michael to tell her to get a dog. Now, if I had a choice between a Michael and a dog, I don't know which one I would pick.
But this Michael's got an ice cream van. Makes him better than me already.
Yeah, not so well. We've got a tub of Ben and Jerry's in the freezer, haven't we?
That's our post-podcast treat, yeah.
Yes. So he turns up, Michael turns up with the ice cream van of your nightmares that plays a song last heard on the trailer to The Exorcist. I'm sure that's where I heard.
Green sleeves.
The green sleeves from hell.
Exodus version.
Yeah.
Exodus
version. So Gail offers to help him clean it up because she's feeling very positive. She's got a day off work, so she thinks.
Yeah. So meanwhile, over at the bistro, there's a bunch of fatties that come in.
That was such an insensitive story.
No editing.
No, move on.
Yeah, they the slimming club.
They've reached their target, and what better way to celebrate than with a slap-up meal at the bistro? So they all pile in, 12 of them.
Yeah, but Steph seems to be working there on her own.
One of the other people are away on...
They're ill.
And as we said, it's Gail's day off, so she's trying to get hold of people, but Gail won't answer her phone. She doesn't want to.
Too busy with Michael.
She's having fun.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Nick turns up to this mediation meeting late. He parks hurriedly in a spot, which he shouldn't have done, to meet Oliver Porter, the mediator, whose main job is to wave his hands ineffectually at Leanne and Nick as they have another argument, which is basically what happens.
It pretty much went as you might expect.
Leanne says she'll see him in court. So Nick comes out to find his car is being towed away, which Leanne thinks is hilarious.
I liked a little celebration dance.
She did
in the
a little prayer to who knows what.
It seemed a little bit pointless having that mediation meeting. I think they could have just skipped past it.
They could have just skipped really any conversation that Nick and Leanne have had in the past 6 months, maybe.
Was it? I guess the only thing that came out of it is the fact that Nick's car was towed away, and that riled him up for his later little mischief that he
and
got
also
into.
Also, we got more information about Leanne wanting maintenance for Simon, but
wasn't that boring?
Whatever.
Yeah. So Leanne comes home and goes along and moans to Cal about how awful Nick is, and meanwhile Nick is moaning about he's being incredibly rude to the lady in the bistro, which is very funny.
I didn't think it was that funny. I just don't think that people in themselves being fat is a joke.
No,
the joke seemed to be these people are fat. Isn't that funny? It's like, not really. Quite a lot of people are fat.
He didn't look, send them out to the ice cream van outside though.
I don't get it. It's not funny being fat. It's just normal.
Yes. So anyway, he goes over to Gail's to go and try and get her to come in because of everything's kicking off over there, the bistro.
It's all kicking off.
Michael tries to defend Gail when Nick's saying, no, you should come into work, why weren't you answering your phone? And Nick's like, what are you going to do about it? So that's the cliffhanger at the end of the first episode, them squaring off at each other.
Steph comes over and rescues, I don't know whether she rescues Nick or Michael in this situation, to say the card machine's not working, and gets Nick to come back to the bistro.
Leaving Gail and Michael to celebrate 1 o'clock in their garden, which is a very nice little scene, because we've both been supporters of a Gail and Michael partnership, haven't we, over the last few weeks?
Yeah.
And it looked like it was going to take a bit of a turn in that episode. It did a little bit, didn't it?
They were
having a toast. Meanwhile, Nick's firing this Nina, whoever she is, on the phone for being ill or something.
She's Fat Brenda's daughter, isn't she?
And then he demands that Steph changes her plans and work in the evening.
Steph starts to kick off, but she calms down a little bit when Luke comes in.
Yeah.
But she's still not very happy about
the situation.
They're
probably going to go off on another late night Tina vigil or something.
Probably.
To release some more balloons, yeah. But no, she's not happy. So meanwhile, back in the garden, Michael and Gail are there having their date, talking about their favourite ice creams.
I was with Michael 100% until he revealed his favourite ice cream flavour was rum and raisin.
That's the worst one.
It's not, he likes that. I like rum and raisin, but it is clearly not the best ice cream flavour.
No. Were you partial to a bit of tutti frutti like Gail?
No, another one of the worst flavours.
I didn't even know you could get that flavour anymore.
No, I don't think you can. I think she's still living 40 years ago.
But it does end in a kiss, doesn't it?
Yeah, they have a little kiss.
Well, because... there's a little arm round first, doesn't it? So it's like building up to it. And then a sweet little kiss.
It's so romantic, but wait.
Unless you're Nick.
Nick spies this.
Why has he even gone home? Has he gone to...
He made up with Steph and went home. I don't know why he was home this early, because it was still daylight.
I don't know.
He sees his mummy in the garden with another man. He doesn't like it. And like any boy would, he kicks off and smashes the wing mirror of the ice cream van and throws potted plants at the window, realises that it's not making much effect, and so he picks up a rock from the rockery and tosses it through the window.
I said last week, how long is it going to be before that rock gets thrown through a window, didn't it? Although, yeah. I wasn't expecting it to be an ice cream van.
Nope.
Was that the whole point of having a rockery there?
Going
to be mentioned again?
Nick's immediate reaction was, as anyone would, jump over the fence and run away.
That was so funny. He's like, what's that I've done?
Uh-oh. No one will suspect me. I'm wearing a suit.
Run. He does so funny. So he's obviously taking over the flame from David. Selling himself in Barbados.
I have this theory, okay, that Nick was actually brain damaged at birth. Stick with me.
Yeah.
He was brain damaged at birth, and this car accident that David got him into has actually reverted him to a true plat. Because he's acting just like David.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
He's bringing out the plat.
But they've got different dads, haven't they?
Well.
He's Brian's son.
It's obviously come from Gail, then. She's got Glenn to
drive anyone nuts.
No.
So that was the end of Monday's episode. Well, they had own Gail and Michael coming out to the strains of green sleeves from hell. And they're going, oh my gosh, what's happened?
Oh no.
So Nick is confessing to Steph on Wednesday's episode that he's done something a little bit stupid, but he won't say what it was.
He doesn't seem bothered at all. He's like, you'd never guess what I did. I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to get myself in trouble.
And then Gail comes in, which causes him to screw his face up.
Yep.
And she says, oh, I accuse you of vandalising the ice cream van. And he's like, yeah, but it's because you kissed Michael, innit?
Yep, he's not repentant at all. He said, what I saw the other day only proves that Michael is just looking, taking you for a fool. And she says, oh, it's just because you're annoyed about Leanne, don't take it out on me. So she goes off and chats to Audrey about this, but Audrey's not really interested in hearing about her problems with Nick. She kind of thinks that she's brought it on herself by going out with Michael. But she does call a family meeting.
Yeah, as we know, mediation meetings work so well with Nick.
Nick loves them. So it's Nick, Michael, Audrey and Gail. And Nick offers to pay for the damage she's done to the van. And Michael says, well, my counter offer is I won't press charges. And Nick's like, ooh, not going to press charges. Oh, I don't care. Like that. And Michael puts Nick in his place and says he wants to make things work with Gail despite everyone's best efforts against it. And Nick marches off. He says he doesn't make any real dent on him at all.
Yeah. And then that just leaves Gail to come to the heart-wrenching decision about whether she should stay with Michael or side with her dearest son, Nick. And she chooses Nick. Can't believe it.
She tells him she has chosen her brain-damaged son.
It is the right thing to do, really, but...
I don't think it is.
Why?
Because she really just needs to say, you'll get used to it, because everyone does on the street, isn't it?
Someone's got to look after him. Can't be Leanne
Who?
Anymore.
No, someone's got to look after Gail. She's not getting any younger. She needs security for her old age.
There's still no sign that Michael is dodgy in any way, is there?
Apart from that one time when he burgled someone,
yeah, since
he
then.
Hasn't put a foot wrong.
Yeah. So, wow. But it's a shame. So she tells him that's it.
I'm afraid.
And it did seem like it was an ending scene, like a that's it forever kind of scene, isn't it?
Well, he kind of says, look, I respect your decision. I understand. Well,
eventually, he was like, no.
You have to pick your family. And so then Gail goes to confront Nick and says, I've left Michael and it's all your fault. And Nick says, well, you should be grateful that to me that you got rid of him. She gets quite indignant and says...
Yeah, they make a bit of a scene in the bistro, don't they?
You're dragging everyone down.
Yeah. So this isn't going to bode well for the Platts in the future, but I mean...
More family drama for David and Kylie to come back to, I think.
Yeah. Well, David's obviously going to be well pleased with Nick when he comes back, isn't he? But
he's going to think it's hilarious.
Yeah. Right. So, as we said, the Les Dennis storyline now. Moving on from the Les Dennis.
We have a fallout between Rita and Norris because Norris accused Dennis of stealing money out of the till. He wouldn't do such a thing. last week, it turned out to have been Rita who borrowed money from Norris without saying anything, which is totally cool, apparently.
Yeah, and then didn't they have their kiss on the Friday's episode as well? Oh, no, he went to kiss Rita, didn't he? And she was a bit taken aback by it.
Well, she's not saying no, basically, to Dennis at the moment. She's not saying yes, but she's not saying no. And Norris just wants her to stay away from him because he knows... that Dennis is a wrong'un. So he's still mad about this on Monday, and Rita eventually loses her patience with him and says, "You stop being mad at me." And he says, "Oh, I might have been wrong about the fact that he stole the money, but I'm certainly not wrong about him. You need to stay away from him." And he storms off.
Yeah. So he then goes and has a moan to Julie and the Rovers, doesn't he? Saying, "This is all your fault. If you kicking Dennis out. If you hadn't done that, he wouldn't be sniffing around Rita anymore, or he wouldn't have moved in with her." And then Julie idiotically lets it slip what actually happened, which is when Dennis convinced her to pretend to throw him out.
So that Rita would have to take him in.
Yeah. And Rita was saying today about, Julie said today that she saw of it as a grand gesture of love and romance. It kind of was. I mean, we were laughing about it when it happened, weren't we? It was a funny scene, particularly when she hadn't planned what she was throwing him out for.
It wasn't a grand gesture of love. It's typical Dennis Tanner manipulating people rather than doing the hard work in a relationship to make it work by being trustworthy.
But I think he'd been trying really hard to, but Rita just wasn't interested, was she? She was sort of, she'd been blanking him almost since he got back.
Because he jumped in a convertible and drove off into the sunset.
That was months ago.
Just because you've forgiven him does not mean that Rita should.
I don't think that if Dennis had done that, it could have been months and months and months before she'd even accepted him back again, if ever.
Well, so, you've got to move things forward. It's a soap.
I'm on Dennis's side for this one.
Well, you're probably the only one. Norris tells Rita that Dennis is lying to her and only pretended to get kicked out. She doesn't believe him at first, but then he seems to convince her. She kind of thinks to herself, maybe.
Mm. So then in the second half of the episode, Dennis is bringing her flowers and saying, oh, don't forget, we've got a date at the Rovers later. And Rita's pretending that everything's okay, though you can tell from the look in her eye that she's hatching a devious plan of her own. Then she sees Julie outside. And she's actually pretty mean to Julie.
She's horrible to Julie.
The way that Julie just... She offered Dennis a roof over his head and she was just going along with his plan. Which...
Basically, Julie is picking up the pieces of their relationship that they've left lying around. She's just going along behind them, trying to tidy things up and square things away because she's a hopeless romantic and that's what we like about her. She is a fool in love.
Yeah.
But...
She doesn't deserve the way Rita...
She meddled in a relationship that she should not have gone anywhere near. And I think Rita also thinks that she's too old to have a young whippersnapper like Julie try to tell her how to live her life.
I guess so. I mean, Rita's the more experienced one in love after all. But anyway, she drags her into the cabin and interrogates her.
Yep.
And then just Julie's like saying, I was just trying to get them back together. But yeah, Rita is so horrible to Julie.
Rita basically makes her feel like scum for doing it.
It's not going to stop her doing it again, though, is it? The next time there's a couple in trouble.
Yep.
So Rita storms into the Rovers, tells Dennis she knows everything, stay away from me. And he's like, oh, no, you're just overreacting, which I think she still was a little bit. And she's like, no, you're a liar, you're a fool, and you belong in the past. Norris is there kind of probably trying to stifle a grin, but he says he's sorry to Rita and she's like, oh, me too. And then we leave the episode with Dennis and Julie sort of stuffing a pint and him saying, well, there's nothing left for me here in Weatherfield, I'd better go off somewhere, which is the coward's way out, really, and it's the soap way out. It's like Can characters
leave?
No one
around here likes me. I'm going
to
leave.
I think everyone else in Coronation Street has got, like, somewhere else to go, because at a drop of a hat, you could just be, I'm going to go and move into my other place now. But it does kind of...
Can you imagine if it was, if we lived here, we'd be like, our neighbours hate us. How do they know who we are?
Well, where do you think Dennis is actually going? Because
Portsmouth.
The last time, I mean, is he gonna go back and live on the street again? Because to me, that's a pretty sad ending to.
It is absolutely ridiculous to say a guy. He basically reminds me a bit of an older version of Todd.
He's nowhere near as mean as Todd is. What are you talking
about?
No,
I mean, borrowing money off everyone, permanently broke. He, like you said, he came off the streets. At one point, didn't he steal something off Rita to buy her a present? He doesn't seem to have any money of his own. All of his income comes from her. Everything he's got is because of Rita. Now he's going off somewhere else. Where's he going?
There isn't anywhere for him. It's just so sad.
It's just made up. I think this is made up.
Unless he's got a secret family somewhere else, maybe. Because we don't know what he was doing for that 43 years or whatever that he was away.
Yeah,
that's one of the many missed opportunities with Dennis, really, that they didn't make any. They didn't really explore what he was really doing all that time.
Nope.
But it's really sad, really. So then his Wednesday was his last episode. Julie's telling Rita that he's going, and then I liked the punching the Norris in the face. That was he kind of had been asking for it. Well, yeah, Dennis goes round and punches
Dennis
Norris in the face.
Dennis goes into the corner shop to find Rita. Norris is there and he insults him. They get into an argument and Dennis says, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and he bops him right on the nose. And Norris does the most theatrical fall I've ever seen. He didn't just sort of like stagger backwards. He actually falls into a pile of boxes.
Yeah.
Dennis looks over
does his own
to
stunts,
see
does
where
Malcolm Hebden.
Where he's fallen, and his eye falls upon a stash of 20s in the till. So what does he do? He picks it up right as Rita walks in to see him standing over the corpse of her friend pillaging the shop.
I didn't like that he was stealing money. I mean, he of course, morally, he shouldn't have punched Norris in the face, but really,
everyone,
Norris has been asking for it,
really.
And everyone really wants to. Mm. But he could have still... what left on a bit of a high, but they decided not to let that happen at all. Didn't...
See, putting aside the fact that it's Dennis, and I have a soft spot for Dennis, and I would prefer it if he and Rita stayed together, I thought this scene was one of the funniest scenes I've seen for ages, and I still don't really know if it's funny because it was so stupid or funny because it was a funny situation.
It was a bit silly.
It was a bit farcical, wasn't it?
It seemed to me to be the writers desperately saying, look, Dennis is bad and you're not sorry to see him go. Don't blame us for getting rid of him.
Yeah.
Look, he steals money.
He steals money out the till.
But
Norris was right along.
Yeah. So obviously Rita's caught him, chucks him out onto the street.
She shrieks at him, doesn't she?
Yeah.
I think Norris might be fatally wounded because his glasses come off.
he had quite a good injury, didn't he?
Blood
coming out of his nose and
everything.
What's Emily going to say when she gets home from her protest?
She'll probably just be like, you probably deserved it. What are you doing now?
And then we get to see Dennis's final scene, which, as it should be, I think, was him looking at his little carving outside his old house.
He's
Dennis
been on a
Town,
journey.
1951. And we get to find out that it was raining when he carved it, and Elsie was there telling him that he ruins everything he touches. So it was nice to get a little bit of reminiscing, though we didn't see any echoes of voices in his head or anything. He's not been in it long enough to have deserved one of those.
No.
And he says goodbye to Julie and then walks off. She gives him money to get a taxi, but
Julie does, yeah.
But yeah, he just walks off like a vagrant
into the
end of the street. A really sad ending for Dennis, but I don't know what else.
Well, you complain when they go in the back of a taxi, is all I'm going to say.
Well, this is as good as that, really.
Well, then you can't complain about it being a taxi, because all you're doing is moaning that they're leaving.
I'd rather he'd left a bit more triumphantly. Like, maybe he'd got fed up of Rita not trusting him or something.
Who was that one that went around telling everybody what they thought of?
Yeah, Natasha.
Natasha, yeah. She had probably one of the best... For such an insignificant character,
she
had probably one of the most satisfying, finales ever.
See, Dennis isn't, disliked or hated by many other people in the street, is he? I think everyone else kind of quite likes him.
Yeah.
But he didn't get a chance to say goodbye to anyone, and...
No.
It was just a bit of a damp squib.
He is like the littlest hobo.
Yeah, but we'll talk about him more in our character profile later anyway.
Really?
Yes, really,
Exciting.
really, really. So Roy's reading rally then. So they're off Roy and Yasmin to go and take the petition to council meeting or something on Monday, wasn't she?
Yeah, they think Roy thinks it's going to be a simple matter of handing the petition
And they
over.
go, "Oh, okay then."
And then Sherry finds a packet of eggs in
That was
Yasmin's
brilliant.
bag.
We found out last week that she'd been arrested, although we still didn't find out why, did we? But
No,
I think that
I think it'll
something
come
to
out
do with
soon.
egging something.
Yeah. And he says, please do not get arrested again, and he reprimands her for being naughty.
Yeah. But yeah,
So
this protest, giving in the petition didn't
didn't work.
work. No.
Yasmin and Roy come back defeated, and Yasmin says they're going to go to occupy the building and stage a sit-in.
Yeah.
So Mary tries to leave leaflets at the bistro, but Nick's not really interested, especially if Yasmin's involved,
Yeah,
because he
the
doesn't like
Nizziers.
any of the Nizzers because of Cal. And Roy reveals to Mary about the sit-in, but she doesn't want to do. But
No, he
she.
still doesn't want to do it
That's what I just
particularly.
said.
Oh.
He doesn't want to do it, and she says, well, are you just going to give up?
But he doesn't.
He doesn't give up. On
No.
Wednesday, Yasmin wants to rally the troops. She's got Mary and Emily going with her. They all go to the bus stop together, and she even manages to recruit Craig to the cause because he says it's probably David Cameron's fault.
This is obviously like Craig's filming week or something, because he
Craig's off.
popped into the
Craig's done
Windass
his,
storyline. Now he's
yeah,
on this. It's
he's
good.
done
Well,
his exams.
he's done his GCSEs now.
So
So
he's free. That
yeah.
was it. That explained the smile on his face during the scene. Mary gets excited about all this. She's always G'd up by stuff like this, but she's quite crestfallen when she discovers that Yasmin hasn't brought her eggs with her.
No, but she's got a banner and it's like, oh, we're going to reveal what the banner says. But then it wasn't that great in the
It
end,
was
was
just
it? It's
something
like
like
free
free
books for all or something.
something. We
But
didn't even
yeah.
read it, did we? So the gang all sneak into the library together 5 minutes before closing
I thought that
time.
was quite a funny scene with them all popping their heads up from behind the window. It was a comedic couple of scenes.
Yasmin's sneaking about like she thinks she's James Bond or something. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And then she kind of like, she's got this kind of overly dramatic voice that she talks to people in, like she's expecting a big fight. But everyone is just kind of not really as into it as she is. The
No.
security guard's like, oh, you guys gonna be, what are you doing? I've got to close up. I don't want any trouble. And she's like, oh, we're going to take over the library and have a sit-in. You'll never close us down.
So they
The
did.
rest
They
of
start sitting
them,
on the floor, but then Emily gets moaning about
Emily's
not
moaning about
about her knees or
the
something.
chair is too hard, and Mary reprimands her and says she should have doubled
Doubled
up on
up
her
on her
pants.
pants. Yeah.
We all know this. Yasmin takes a selfie of everybody protesting that she's going to email to all her contacts. Corey nearly got it right.
What?
You don't take a selfie and email it to all your contacts. That's not really what you do.
Well, she said she put it on Twitter, didn't she? Because she got 14
Yeah,
retweets later.
they should have just said that.
Well, yeah, this seems to be, maybe this is where like Yasmin's past is gonna come out, because it could be like the newspapers or whoever gets hold of it, and then they
Oh
say
yeah, break it
ex
up.
criminal, yeah, and they rake up all her past or something.
Yeah.
But I think the way it's going is people aren't going to be interested in it. I don't
I don't
think.
think anyone will care.
But I don't really believe that they're going to close down Weatherfield Library. It's like, where will
Yeah,
Ken
but
go?
at the same time, I can't believe that doing this would have any impact whatsoever, because surely it's now too late anyway.
Yeah. I mean, when they were up protesting in a tree, like everyone could see that that was going on, but they just locked themselves up in a room that nobody was going to go in
Yeah,
anyway, and
it was like, oh, libraries, he goes there, boring.
yeah.
I've got Kindle.
So it's a and then everyone ended up just going home, didn't they?
Well, everyone gets a bit bored. Emily's reading Chains of
That
Love
was funny.
while Mary and Craig try to play charades. Emily gets disgusted by whatever the contents of this was.
It's funny, she said, don't read that, Mary.
Mary's annoyed because Yasmin guessed her charade. Craig kind of thinks he's going to get in trouble with Beth if he goes home late. So basically, when the security guard comes to sort of try to kick them out, Yasmin's prepared for a fight and she tells everybody to leave, and she and Roy will stick together.
I think I'm most disappointed in Emily, really, because we had that scene with her last week in the cafe where she was saying, "Oh, I don't give up. I've been fighting all my life. I've done
Yeah.
this, that, and the
And
other."
then
And
she's like, oh, I should have worn extra pants. I've got to go home.
yeah, is it just like Eileen Derbyshire can't be in two episodes in a row or
I
something?
don't
I don't know,
know.
but it was a real shame
And I
because it.
can't believe there's no comfortable seats in the library. I mean, at the very
I
least,
know,
they have
comfy sitting, big,
those big
yeah.
foam chairs with no arms.
Yeah. Maybe that's why the library's closing.
Maybe
Maybe
it
that's all
was,
they need. But yeah, it just seems like this storyline could have turned into something not huge, obviously, but something bigger than it actually was, and it seems to be over before it started.
I don't
Apart from the fact that
know.
Yasmin and Roy are
I'm still
staying there,
there. Just
but
remember
Roy
that.
doesn't seem like he's that bothered. I guess it's like it depends. I mean, it could be that Mary and Craig and Emily come back the next day and join them again or
No, I
something,
think there's
but
going to be some kind of heartfelt scene between Roy and Yasmin. Honestly, though, I'm not that bothered about the pair of them together. I like Yasmin and I like Roy, but I can't see, I think, what their interactions might feel a bit forced if they're not careful, because they really have nothing in common and they're not the sort of characters that would get on with each other.
well, no, I think that they get on okay. I mean,
No,
they're
they
both
don't.
intellectuals.
Yeah, but they're from complete at different ends of the spectrum.
And I quite
The only
like
thing
that,
I can
seeing that.
see is that Roy might see something of Hayley in Yasmin, but there's absolutely nothing of Hayley in her. I can just imagine him kidding himself and saying, "Oh, she was always quite passionate
Well,
about
that's
being
what
into it."
Mary said, isn't it?
Yeah, but
That
she's
Hayley
not at
would want
all like
Roy to fight.
Hayley.
No, I don't think she's particularly, apart from the guts that she has a bit, I
The
guess.
chutzpah.
Yeah, but yeah, this storyline really should have just happened when Ken was back, because he'd have been there.
Oh no, Ken would
Why?
have dragged it all down.
No, they've been funny.
Now I like the scene with all of them together. I thought it was quite funny, sort of like such an unlikely collection of waifs and
Misfits,
strays.
wasn't it? Yeah,
Yeah.
but yeah, the fact that they are all a bit bunch of weirdos isn't really going to do
No.
much for their cause, is
And
it?
they just gave up too easily, like you said.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, something might come out in the papers, I reckon, maybe for a Friday's episode.
But I also, like I said earlier, thought that Craig worked really well with all the other characters.
He seems to have also, Coulson Smith, have kind of grown out of his grumpy teenager phase a little bit.
He
He
does
was
seem to
seemed to
have.
be speaking more clearly, and he's shot up, he's huge now,
I
isn't he? He's
know.
blimmin' gonna be massive when
No
he's
wonder the
older.
security guard went off and left them. Oh no.
Yeah.
And then when he comes back, when he finds out Craig's going, he's like, "Yeah, I'm just going to kick you out."
He'll probably get a job as a bouncer at the bistro or something when he's
Oh yeah. To keep
older.
Leanne out.
Yeah. So let's just finish off with this Windass story. So we had on Friday Faye coming back from a pizza evening in tears. And she's very clingy to Anna on Monday's episode. And she's yeah looking very furtive when Anna wants to ask if she's okay. So she's there in the cafe, and then Craig comes in there, so he's getting into more than one storyline, and he's like saying, "Is this true what people have been tweeting about you, saying that you've been sleeping
No,
around?"
I don't think he said. He says, "Let me show you what people have been saying. Have you seen it?"
Did he?
He's not
Oh, I can't
asking her
remember.
if it's true. He's just saying. I think he even says, "I don't believe it."
Yeah, he did say that later, actually.
But he's obviously concerned about her for some
Yeah.
reason.
I don't think. I don't know.
It's quite
We.
unnatural that a boy of his age would ever talk to a girl
Well, I know, and if
like
she's,
that about such a delicate
yeah,
subject.
she's what, in year 7 or something now, and he's now in year 11 at school, I think. So I don't think they've had anything to do with each other in the
I
past,
can
but
understand if he felt kind of like some kind of sisterly connection to her, but they really don't know each
they might
other.
go to school on the bus together, I guess, but and he is
Why would
like
they
a,
speak to each
but
other
he is a
though?
kindly soul, isn't he? He's
He
a
is
bit
a nice guy. That's
simple.
the only thing. That's the only reason that it's not completely ridiculous that
It
he
would have
came
been used.
up.
It would have been nice to have seen more of their relationship in the past, but maybe this is
All
the
I can
beginning of
say
it
is
or
that
something.
Craig must be incredibly bored because he's involved himself in two storylines that really had nothing to do with him.
Yeah. So Anna is straight away. Well, she finds out because Faye locked herself in the toilets, and then Beth comes in and it all comes out. But Anna straight away doesn't even
Well,
consider the fact
the
that the tweets saying that Faye has been sleeping around with all these people could be true. Straight away, she's like, "No, of course it's not true. Just being bullied." Wasn't it? She was saying that you need to ignore it, and Beth was saying,
No, Beth told her to ignore it, and
"Oh
she
yeah, Beth
wanted to
wants to
go to the
ignore it,
school
doesn't
and get
she?
them to sort it out,
The
despite the fact
school's
that it's
not
not
going to do
home.
anything at the moment. Yeah, there's
No.
not going to be anyone there now. Yeah, so straight away, Anna doesn't believe. What do you think? Do you think Faye's been up to naughty business?
I don't know.
I mean, she's been in. Obviously, it's been a difficult time for the family at the moment. Faye doesn't know what Anna did with Phelan, did she?
Not that
So
I
she
know of.
doesn't. She's not automatically thinking, "Oh, this is what you do in these situations,"
Don't you've
or.
said this to me before, and I've told you that is a stupid thing to say that a girl would think.
Well, she doesn't know what
Girls
she's.
don't sleep around because their mothers do it and they try and mimic their behaviour. We're not a bunch of monkeys, you know.
They're all desperate at the Windass, that's all I'm saying.
No.
Anyway, we didn't say any more of that on Wednesday, so I guess more to come with that storyline next time while we're on holiday. And that was it for Street Talk this week. I thought it was quite good. I mean, I like all the library stuff. I like the stuff with Michael. Pretty
I
good
like.
half a week.
I wonder where they're going with the face storyline. Are they going down, oh, she's a little tramp storyline, or are they going down the, oh, let's tackle cyberbullying?
I don't know.
Because if they're doing that, then it kind of seems a bit silly because the school wouldn't be involved. But it is a sort of an important thing to talk about because it is kind of like a hot topic
But
at
they
the
already had the
moment.
bullying storyline with
They
her
had to,
last year,
well,
and they
that's
even
why.
brought up, was it Grace that did it? And it's,
Oh,
no, Grace has disappeared off the face of the planet.
I thought you were going to say about Beth being cyberbullied because they kind of did try to tackle it a little bit
Yeah,
with her
they did.
when she
Or
was in the
maybe.
paper because she saved that woman's bag from being
Or
stolen and
maybe
everyone
that's the
was
link
making.
between Craig and Faye.
Maybe.
Well, yeah, it could be, I guess, but we'll see. So, yeah, that's it. No more Corrie for us for over a week now. And we'll be able to
We have a binge watch
have
when
a
we get
binge
back.
on the day we get back, yeah. But let's move on now to Street Talk. So this week's character profile, of course, is Dennis Tanner, who sadly left our screens this week after being technically the longest running character of all, especially with Ken away. But a bit of background information about him: he was born on the 1st of April 1942, so he was a bit of an April Fool. His parents were Arnold and Elsie Tanner, and he had a sister called Linda Chavesky. He was married to Jenny Sutton in 1968, and then Rita, of course, in 2012. Dennis first appeared on the 9th of December 1960 in the first episode of Corrie, and he was actually the first male character to appear, so that's kind of a big achievement for him, I guess. Nobody can take that away from him. He was in around 670 episodes in all, though, which doesn't average out to very much over the run of the whole programme. And it then ended up with him being the 71st most featured character on the show. Not only was he the first male character to appear on Corrie, he also holds the record for the longest absence in between episodes, with a whopping 43 years in between his old classic Coronation Street appearances and then coming back a couple of years ago. I think that might even be in the Guinness World Record, so good for you, Dennis. He is played by Philip Lowry. So originally Dennis was cast as a petty criminal, a bit of a wrong'un obviously, and in the first scene, which you can see on YouTube, he's having an argument with Elsie about him, saying that he's such a scrounger, and they bring up the fact that he'd been in prison. But the writers quickly saw the comic potential in Philip, and they made him more of a comedic character in later episodes. Tony Warren also apparently saw a bit of himself in the role, and he even toyed with the idea of casting himself.
I doubt they ever would have let him
No, well, I don't know.
say what he likes, can't he? But they wouldn't have let him be in the show.
It's interesting to see that Dennis is the character that I guess for the show's creator to base a character maybe slightly on himself is quite makes it quite an important character. Well, Tony said it was a much better part than Ken, as originally written. There were infinite possibilities in Dennis that were never explored.
Too true.
Yeah. The criminal side. In those streets, there is always a bad un, a wrong un, and he was the wrong un. And Philip was actually one of the last roles to be cast, mere days before the rehearsals for episode one started. That is too true about all these possibilities about Dennis that they never explored, and yeah, the same can be said about him now. So let's look about into his past then. So in 1942, Dennis was born at number 11, delivered by a neighbour apparently. And then in 1945, Elsie and Arnold, his parents, separated. So he grew up with Elsie as being a single mum. 1951, very important date for Dennis because that was when he wrote Dennis Tanner 1951 into the house's window ledge, which we got to see a little bit more of today. And it's quite cool that that stayed there as like a souvenir, like a memory of the past all these years. And it was nice that in his final scene, he was there and he was saying to Julie that Eileen should never get rid of it. That seems to be the sort of thing that like a new producer might come in and decide to do, just get rid of something like that to make their stamp on the street or something.
Yeah, I think that'd be silly.
It would be a little bit silly. 1960, okay, so we're into the actual programme now. Although, no, before this happened, before the programme started, he spent some time in Borstal, so the detention centre for petty theft. And then later that year, he was suspected of burglary after being found with £25, which is a lot of money in those days. Although
can actually, buy a house at that point.
He probably could. But it turned out he actually won that money on the dogs. In 1961, shock horror, Arnold, father Arnold, turned up after a 15-year absence, but it was just to get a divorce from Elsie. And then Dennis got a job as front-of-house manager at the Orinoco Club, which is where he dated exotic dancer Eunice Bond, which Elsie disapproved of. And then after a short-lived attempt at singing at the club under the stage name Ricky Dennis, he left to work as a talent scout. And then one day, he brought home a chimpanzee that he was asked to look after.
What, in the show they had a real chimp?
Yes.
Wow.
I know, it's good. They had things like that in those days. I don't know whether that was part of and when they had like the strikes and that back in the olden days and they couldn't...
What, they just had a chimp because they couldn't have an actor?
I think I read something about the fact that there were so many characters and actors that couldn't be in it during the strike times that they did have to fill it with stories like that. And like there was the story like about the sea lion in the bath or something. But I don't know whether that was then or not.
That sounds ridiculous.
Actually, look, in 1962, that was when it says there was a strike properly, because that was when Dennis first left Weatherfield for London to open up as an office for this talent agency. But in real life, he couldn't actually be on the show because of the equity strike. So he had to come up with lots of cock and bull stories why characters couldn't be in it.
In 1963, he came back and he had with him Cockney Mavis Fox, who told Dennis that who Dennis had told that he was a wealthy mill owner returning to Weatherfield to see his elderly gran. Now, as you might imagine, this lie didn't particularly last very long, and Mavis left when she discovered the truth.
Yeah, so he was then back on the talent scouting. Circuit, and he discovered singing window cleaner Walter Potts.
If only he discovered Tim.
Oh yeah,
could have been.
He could be the next
on Stars in the Rise or something.
The next Brett Falcon, which was the Walter's stage name, but Dennis was sacked for incompetence because it turned out that he'd failed to sign Walter to an exclusive contract, so he went on singing for other people.
In 1964, he got a labouring job at Amalgamated Steel, but he didn't like it, so he got himself sacked after taking the blame for damaged stock and moved on to working for Elsie's boyfriend at the Viaduct Street Social Club. But then he was fired after Elsie and the boss split up. So that wasn't his fault, at least. He met Rita in this year and allowed her to stay at his house for the night.
Yeah, so this
and
was...
And she's been returning the favour ever since.
This was like Rita when Barbara
was
Knox was in it.
Singer.
Yeah, and it wasn't properly Rita, but when she came back later, they just kind of said, oh, let's say it's the same character. But yeah, I think a lot of... when Rita and Dennis kind of got together in the past few years, they made out that this 1964 meeting was a lot bigger than it actually was, because it was right. Like pretty much nothing. 1965, he completed a hairdressing course. There you go, he could have got a job at Audrey's, couldn't
he? I know, but he went to an exclusive salon, but he was mocked by the clients for being too working class. And he briefly dated Sandra Petty, though he could only have access to the storeroom at her father's shop.
Yeah, he only dated her so that he could get to her father's shop storeroom.
Yeah,
yeah, and that left him with 108 Christmas trees when they split up. In 1966, he became entertainment's manager at a Carlisle holiday camp, although he quickly returned to the street, followed by two thugs who he owed £94 to.
Buy a house for that.
He gambled away his earnings when he got a job at the betting shop, then worked for a while at Len's Builder's Yard. He is really
a jack of all trades,
isn't he? He's
literally no job on the street that he hasn't done, apart from waiter, I think, so far.
So why is he finding it so difficult to get a job these days?
He's got many holes in his CV.
Like when he went to prison.
Yeah, exactly.
For 1967, he resigned from the yard because he accidentally set Len's kitchen on fire. But then he got a job at Gamma Garments under Emily Bishop.
Wow.
But eventually, he had to work as their debt collector. He resigned from that job after being caught late one night with Inga Olsen, who he'd been teaching English to and dating. And then he went over to Sweden with her and came back with her sister Karen.
Did he get confused?
Yeah, must have done. She was eventually sent away by officials. He went through a number of other jobs in 1967, including a sandwich boardman, ice cream seller, and taxi driver. And he also turned number 11 into a boarding house when Elsie moved away.
Wow, what an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I guess that's... Yeah, that was obviously his thing, wasn't it, about getting all jobs. It's like he was the Homer Simpson of Coronation Street.
Right, OK.
In 1968, hippies squatted at number 11 during a New Year's Eve party, and Dennis fell for one of them, Jenny Sutton. They spent a bit of time in London together, then came back to Weatherfield, where Elsie refused to let them share a bed. But when they announced they were going to get married, she was a bit more supportive of them. They married in May and then moved away to Bristol to start a new life. And that was all there was to say about Dennis Tanner for quite a long time, because he was getting a bit frustrated with the material that he'd been given. That then led to a spat with Patricia Phoenix, obviously played his mum Elsie, and they were in having so much of an argument that the only time that the two of them ever spoke was when they were during filming. So that must have been pretty difficult.
Pretty awkward.
Over the time that he was away, he was apparently very fed up of being asked when he'd return. But he did a few other sort of jobs in the industry. He did some voiceover work on 15 to 1, which was a quiz show on Channel 4, I think. He performed in a number of Victoria Wood shows, and he was on Crown Court, War and Peace, The Liver Birds, and Doctors. So not anything that we'd have seen.
Bit of hand in.
Yeah, just a little bit. So back on the screen, in 1973, we found out that he was sent to prison for 2 years after taking part in a double glazing scam defrauding pensioners, like Rita. And then by then, his wife had left him. But if you believe the epic novel of Coronation Street, Elsie secretly visited him in prison.
I can't imagine Dennis actually getting involved in something quite as underhanded as that. It seems like a lot of the stuff he does is kind of little schemes that just go wrong or things that don't quite pan out, kind of slightly unsavoury.
I know,
but
I don't like him.
Theft.
I don't like him. I don't like thinking of him as a proper nasty wronging criminal. He's just like, yeah, a bit of a
bumbling fool who kind of messes things up.
Yeah, and then ends up having to steal out of the till to try and cover his back,
yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, but, kind of thing. Oh, I punched Norris about steal something out of the till to cover my back.
Now, still off screen, we don't find anything else about him until 2009, I think. So there's this massive gap in the character's backstory that will never be filled, it seems. He moved in with Norma Fountain after work dried up. They got engaged, but he didn't love her. Just wanted to get engaged to her for the money, probably, and he jilted her. In the next year, he ended up homeless and went to the Roof and Refuge soup kitchen. And who should he meet there but Sophie Webster, who was working there. So he'd returned to Corry, Philip Lowry, because his agent had emailed Phil Collinson, who was the producer at the time. Barbara Knox was consulted, and she said it'd be an excellent idea, and his character was brought back. This is actually one of the reasons why I accepted the contract, said Lowry. Dennis is brought back into the show as a homeless person. I thought, that is wonderful, because it gives me something to play, but it also gives the character somewhere to go and somewhere to develop.
Exactly what Maddie must have thought when she got the job.
Yeah. I mean, I quite liked when he came back and we got to see the homeless side, like the rags to not quite riches.
I don't really understand why he was homeless, though. They never really bothered to explain it, did they?
I can't remember. They might have done,
kinda,
but
like,
he was just like...
Crap happened.
Couldn't get a job. Yeah, exactly. It's the recession, probably, isn't it?
Yeah.
Blame it all on the recession.
In 2011, he met Sophie and Sean at the kitchen, and they then invited him to Roy's Rolls, but he was a bit fishy for a while, wasn't he? Because we weren't really sure who he was, and he kept acting suspicious and didn't want to go to the street. And then
yeah, and obviously Sophie and Sean didn't know who he was.
Had no idea. But then you find out when he is looking at number 11.
Yeah, he's looking at his etchings again.
Yeah, and he bumps into Rita, but he runs off when they recognise each other. So she tracks him down to the soup kitchen, and they end up getting closer, and she offers him her sofa to sleep on.
Yeah, we also found, which was a bit bizarre, that he was a long-lost relative of Eileen and Julie, apparently, because Elsie's maiden name was Grimshaw, and I think that was just something they, like, added in just for the sake of it.
I guess, though, it does sort of, like, shed a light on why Julie was extra
extra sad to see him go today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she doesn't have much family, does she? So she'd take anyone.
So after the soup kitchen turned out to be a scam, Norris gave Dennis's details to the press. Dennis was annoyed that Norris has revealed his past to all, and he ran off. Rita and Deirdre tracked him down, as did Norma, who got all things straight with him. Then we had 2012. He was feeling a bit guilty, apparently, by then, of taking advantage of Rita's hospitality. So he got a job in Birmingham.
Yeah, he said he was leaving so he could go and work.
Yeah, and I think by then, Norris must have been not needling him, saying that you're just a scrounger.
Yeah.
I don't think he was. I mean, what else could he do? I mean, he'd come on off of the street.
Well, he couldn't do much, but it's not like he had savings to take care of him, yeah, but he was being quite proud, and then I think they both sort of realised that they loved each other, and he didn't want to go, and she didn't want him to go.
Yeah.
And it was quite a sort of, it wasn't sort of like an ecstatic sort of running across the fields into each other's arms kind of thing. It was kind of quite a very natural, sweet kind of, oh,
yeah,
maybe we should get married then. Yeah. So they did.
They did like a couple of months later. I think that their pairing, it generally isn't very well liked by Coronation Street fans.
I don't know why.
I think lots of people would have preferred Dennis to just be like out on his own, doing his little crazy schemes and things, and not be tied down by a woman.
Oh, but the old nag.
I think they're pretty sweet together.
I think they're really awesome together.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't to be.
No. He got a job as a lollipop man later that year, but that was quite funny. Do you remember he was like secretly being a lollipop man? He wouldn't tell anyone about it because he was ashamed. But Steve found out about it and he was ribbing him about it. And then, yeah, they had some kind of feud. Didn't like Dennis or Steve was playing up in outside the school in his car, and Dennis was not letting him pass or something.
They had a standoff. Yeah. The feud was ended when an army of lollipop men blocked the road outside streetcars.
That was a bit silly.
Was a little bit.
I also liked the scene late in 2012 when they were having that Rovers Pub of the Year competition, and they were expecting to have like a secret drinker who then go back and report to the magazine about how wonderful it was in the Rovers, and Dennis caught wind of the fact that they were expecting someone, and he had pretended to be the secret drinker himself, and he ended up getting free drinks all night, and then he collapsed backwards after getting a little bit too tipsy.
Whoops.
That was the kind of Dennis that I wish we'd seen a little bit more of, because...
Yeah, sort of like cheeky old fool kind of...
Yeah, he did a couple of good drunk scenes during his tenure on the street. But yeah, it all kind of started falling to bits in 2013. Now this could have been a good storyline, but I never really got that. I never really warmed to it, because I like the idea of reminiscing back to Dennis's past as a talent scout, but it was really the beginning of the end of his relationship with Rita, wasn't it? And had him going off with Gloria.
In 2013, he got in touch with his old client, Richie DeVries.
Breeze,
after reminiscing about his days as a talent agent, so he decided, together with Gloria, to put on some gigs at the Bistro with Richie's band, which then brought the pair closer together, while Rita gradually got pushed out.
Yeah, and Rita was getting grumpier and grumpier this time. I think she's mellowed out a little bit more since then, but back like a year ago, she was really...
A bit insecure.
She was a bit insecure, but she was a bit of a nasty old woman, wasn't she, I think? There were some scenes I really didn't like Rita. So it was almost no wonder that Dennis was sort of...
Playing away?
No, sort of... I don't know. Talking to other ladies. Not that I would ever do such a thing.
Well, in 2014, Rita confronted Dennis about his relationship with Gloria, and he said, well, Gloria is younger than you.
That was shocking.
I couldn't believe he said that. I don't know what he was trying to say, but anyway, it didn't work out because he ended up spending the night on Gloria's sofa, which then came back to bite him on the bum, because Gloria told Rita that he was there the next day and sort of rubbed it in her face, like, oh, your husband was on my sofa last night.
Yeah, because this was like Rita had taken Dennis back, or they were getting closer again. That seemed to come round again and again and again, didn't it? Like, Rita kicking him out, she would then say, oh, okay, then, well, let's try again. But then little does she know that he's had some horrible
secret
scheme to try and get back to her, which is kind of what happened today, wasn't it? Because Rita was like, oh, I'm just coming over to the cabin to see if you can make something of our marriage again. But, oh, you got your hands in your till.
Oh, there you are,
Norris.
Standing over a bloodied corpse.
Yeah. Not a corpse. He said that again. You're wishing
just,
Norris
I'm
dead.
I'm just reimagining it in my mind, and it's much more exciting.
After then, Dennis went off with Gloria in the back of their cab, and that was the most enraged that I'd ever got to Coronation Street.
Really?
Well, do you remember how mad I was when they drove
but
off?
But you don't show your emotions, do you? You just kind of like, you did a little Ken face.
That was so bad when he went off with Gloria, and I think they've changed his personality just a little bit too much. If they wanted him to be like a family man but a bit of a cheeky chappy, that's fine, but to have him probably going off with Gloria and just the way he was like, see you Rita,
I know, he's like, bye babe,
look after yourself,
smoke me a kipper,
didn't
baby.
Like that, did not like that at all.
So he left, but he came back not too long later with his tail between his legs, regretting his actions and trying to worm his way back into Rita's life, and he manages to get a bit closer to her when Tina died.
Yeah.
Hooray, Tina's dead. Let's worm my way back in there. But it didn't really work, did it? Because Norris always had his eye out. And I think really Norris was always going to be Dennis's downfall because they both bring out the worst in each other. And say what you like, but I really think even though there's nothing between them romantically, there's a bond between that Rita and Norris that will never be broken.
He's really, he's just a bit too overprotective. It reminded me of your little dog Bobby, that when he was sitting on your lap someone else tried to stroke him, he's like, yeah. And Norris just won't let anyone get close to Rita.
He is like a deranged chihuahua.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it's a little bit like Nick with Gail. It's like,
yeah, get away from my property.
Yeah, loves her too much. But yeah, and that was the end of Dennis, because last Christmas, I think, his departure was announced. As far as I've seen, Philip Lowry hasn't done any interviews or anything about it, but apparently he didn't see this news coming at all. Apparently a Soap Insider said that he thought the writers didn't think his character was viable anymore. He'll be dearly missed by all the cast. But I don't agree at all that his character's not viable. I mean, they need as many older characters as they can get in the soap, and he certainly was capable to hold a storyline, even if it's just like these little short couple of week ones.
Exactly. I think he added colour to the street, and I think that it's going to be worse because he's not in it.
Yeah, it's just going to be another like sort of funny character that's
not there anymore. Just like, and also we often say that we like the scenes with the older characters, and he was just that little bit younger than the rest of them, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he could add a bit more energy to those scenes.
Maybe would be the only one left in say 10 years' time. don't know. But it's worth just thinking about. Yeah, so sadly he's gone. I will miss him.
Not
so much now as I would have done.
I think that they just tried to, when they had his hands in the till today, it was just a last ditch attempt to make viewers not like him or something, because I think he's pretty popular with the viewers, but it was a bad mistake. It was a big missed opportunity, because we didn't find out anything that happened about him really over those 40 years that he was away, apart from that going into prison, but that was only for a couple of years. There was such a huge backstory that they never explored, and I assume they never will do, unless they have a child coming out of the woodwork or something.
Yeah, he's one of those characters that I just think he could come back, and I think he would be fine to come back. Some characters I think, oh well, see you later.
I wonder whether he'd want to now, because it doesn't seem like he's left on very good terms.
No.
But I would say personally for me that this has been Stuart Blackburn's biggest mistake as a producer. And I know lots of people haven't liked Stuart Blackburn, what he's done with the programme, but I've not had that much of a problem with him, to be honest. They've got rid of quite a lot of characters that needed to be got rid of, like Ryan and Stella and the like. But definitely getting rid of Dennis was not a very good move. And I don't think that he would come back now.
So, no, I wouldn't.
Shame that the first male character is now gone, but at least we'll have Ken back soon to take his place.
Yep.
but maybe not as Rita's husband.
Maybe not. I don't know. Might maybe not.
But yeah, that's it. So
that's Dennis.
Yeah. So long, Dennis. It's been nice having you around for the last few years.
Yep.
Hope you find someone to live with, and you don't end up dead on the streets. Yeah. Do you think that he's? Oh, I wonder whether he'll go back to Gloria.
Well, why not?
We could well get a text message from like Gloria texting Eva or something,
yeah,
saying
get
that
all
Dennis
the grands
has been sniffing around me,
yeah,
and whether
probably.
Or not she accepts him back.
That would be quite nice.
Because he ended up coming, yeah, he ended up coming back from Gloria because she got bored of him or something, didn't they say?
Just kind of fell out, and he think he said she was a bit of a psycho.
Yeah, which is true, but I mean,
they both are really.
Yeah.
You got to be a psycho to be on Quarry, otherwise you're boring, aren't you?
Right, let's move on and have some news now. Okay, it's time for the cabin. Gemma, can you hear it? It's the sound of award ceremony. We've got load of nominations, but it's the only news article we've got. Nothing else much has happened this week. But yes, it's the Inside Soap Awards 2014 coming up soon, and the long list has been revealed. And you can vote at www.insidesoap.co.uk because, as they proudly state on their website, they're the only awards voted for, the only soap awards voted for entirely by fans. Not any like, expert panel of judges or whatever. There aren't even fans at all. So we'll just quickly run down these as we do. So Best Actor, there's Mark Bayliss, Chris Gascoigne and David Nielsen. I think David Nielsen's on a bit of a streak at the moment, so I think he's got quite a good chance of getting that one.
The thing I don't get about all these soap awards is, like, where's their cut-off period? Because the Best Actress is, you've got nominated Alison King, Paula Lane and Julie Hesmanhog, who hasn't been in it.
Well, it's usually, like, in the year since the last awards show.
I know, but that's what I mean, because there's so many of them, and they're all taking place at different times. It's just
Yeah, I guess Julie... she's quite likely to get the award, but I mean, it's been 6 months now almost since Hayley died, so people might be forgetting about her. And I think when I voted for this, I actually did vote for Alison King. That's because she's sort of closer in my mind, and she's been doing an excellent job. I don't particularly know why Paula Lane's in there. She's okay.
Making up the numbers.
We've got Best Bad Boy, Mark Bayliss and Bruno Langley. I voted for Bruno on that one. Because I don't think that Rob's that much of a bad boy.
No,
okay, killed Tino. He didn't mean to,
well,
really.
He was kind of annoying.
Yeah, he's not that much of a great villain for me. Then we have Best Bitch.
Can't say that word.
Kate Ford and Samia Gardi. Now, that was a weird nomination. I mean, she had a bit of a deranged patch for a few weeks ago, a month or so ago.
So
but
Best
I wouldn't...
Bitch, not Best Period of Mental Instability leading to a breakdown.
There's no way that she's that Maria is better than Tracy in that regard. Tracy's just excellent. She's got so many great one-liners. I love Tracy, so definitely vote for her. For her for that one. Funniest Male, we had Simon Gregson and Malcolm Hebden. I think both of them have won Funniest Character Awards in the past. Obviously, there's other soaps as well that are nominated on this. But
I think this year I'd go for Simon Gregson over Malcolm Hebden. Because I think, because of all the stuff about Rita and Dennis, he's had to play more of a serious role. And there's been less of the sort of snipey... And when he has been sort of sniping and judging people, it's been more unpleasant than funny.
Yeah, he should get on the Best Bitch Award.
Yeah,
he
should do.
And Funniest Female, and I was really, really pleased, because not only did Patty Clare get a nomination, which is usual.
And a nomination.
But Anne Kirkbride did as well.
Good
now,
for
I don't
her.
Think I've seen her get a nomination for Funniest Female or Funniest Character before, but she so deserves
it. She really
it
suits the role of being comic character.
Yeah, she's been brilliant in the last two years or so, and she was always a little bit funny, but she had so many serious storylines in the past, and she's just been comic relief, but not, I don't think she's like treated as in a silly way, like Gail was trying to turn into a comic character, but like it's at Gail's expense almost, but Deirdre has the upper hand in a lot of the scenes where she's funny.
In certain ways, I think when a female character gets to a certain age on Corrie, they don't know what to do with them, so they turn them into a comic character, which is sort of insulting in a way. but yeah, I think that Deirdre has got comic timing and the situations too, and also the characters to play against, because a lot of it is playing against Kate Ford at the moment.
Yeah.
It's obviously in Ken's absence. And perhaps Ken does drag her down a little bit, because...
Well, we'll have to see, won't we?
We'll have to see how it works out. But yeah, I would prefer her to get it over Patty Clare this year, just because
Patty's
changed.
No, she's just like perennially funny, isn't she?
Yeah, she's still funny, but I'd like to encourage Corey to maybe keep going with Deirdre's comic interludes.
Yeah. Best newcomer, we've got Dean Fagan, who plays Luke, and Tisha Merry, who plays Steph. I mean, Luke's not made...
Both bland in my eyes.
But not, so what, far. Even Steph?
Steph's not a newcomer, I'm sorry, she's been in it.
She has been in it for over a year now, surely, so
you can't just say, oh, Slaggy Steph was a different character, because we hated her when she first came in.
We did hate her at the beginning, but I voted for her. I mean, it was easily her
over Luke. Well, out of the two, it's out of, yeah.
But I actually think that she is turning into a much, much better character now, and I'm actually looking forward to scenes with her in. I never thought I'd say that, but she's got so much energy.
I want them to stop having scenes with her and Luke, because he's boring and he's dragging her down, and Katie.
Yeah, yeah.
And also Steph, stop Luke moping and Katie around. Boring. She's done just about the right amount of moping about Tina, but any more, and I'm gonna get bored of
gonna
it.
Gonna go off her. Yeah, she but needs to have another storyline, but I don't know what it could be at the moment.
Really,
because her friends are the boring characters.
What they need to do is get her out of the bistro and stick her in the bar, because she is barmaid material for very someone.
Yeah, I think she would be much better in the Rovers, yeah. Best young actor, we've got Alex Bain and Ellie Leach nominated. I mean, let's be honest, neither of them are going to win that. Emmerdale usually has some really good child actors, and I don't think it's going to be any different. I mean,
they haven't given them good enough storylines this year, to be fair.
Alex has got off the boil, as we've said a little bit before.
It's the scriptwriters.
Yeah, so, I voted for Ellie, but I don't expect her to win that, unfortunately, but keep trying. Sexiest male, Mark Bayliss or Ryan Thomas?
No.
I voted for Ryan Thomas. I was putting myself in your shoes, of course, when I voted for that one.
I don't like either of them. Sexiest female, Michael, Georgia May Foote or Sammy Agardi?
Well, who do you think I voted for that one?
Sammy Agardi?
Yeah, gotta go for the classics.
Back to the Devil You Know.
Yeah, so that's really interesting.
But Georgia May Foote is actually very, very attractive.
I know, I just, her boring character just clouds that for me. I can't see past how dull Katie is. I thought it was very interesting that Michelle Keegan wasn't nominated in this.
Yeah, because considering that Julie was. That's what I don't get.
Yeah.
Do you think that she's just gone, just please tell people I'm not doing that anymore?
I think she may have retired from being nominated, or did she turn down her nomination?
I think she probably just said to her agent, I'm not doing soap stuff anymore.
Yeah, she wants to move on from that, I guess.
Because all I've seen her in the papers is appearing at people's weddings wearing clothes and going to parties wearing clothes and, you know, her lipsy range, and she wants to be a wag now rather than an actress, an ex-soap actress, which is probably the bottom of the celebrity heap. But I wouldn't say wag is much higher.
No. Now, this is an interesting category. You don't often see this one in award shows, do we? Best family.
Mm.
But I think as for soaps, that's actually quite an important category, considering that a good family can really make or break a storyline.
Yeah, so we've got the Platts and the Windass Armstrongs.
Well, the Windass Armstrongs have dominated Coronation Street this year. They don't seem to have been off our screens since January and even before then. But up against the Platts, no contest. Go Team Platt, I say.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean,
I don't think anyone's going to vote for the Windass Armstrongs, but I do think they've given more drama.
Yeah, they have, but it doesn't make them a favourite
family. The thing
that
I've really enjoyed about the Platts is just Nick. So,
and what about David?
Like you told me.
Tilsley. So it should be the Windass Armstrongs versus the Platt Tilsley McIntyres.
Yeah.
could go on.
This is why soap characters should not bother to change their names.
Yeah, too complicated when it all gets mixed up.
No one bothers to track them.
But definitely the Platts are the family of Corrie for me at the moment. And then finally we've got Best Storyline, the Goodbye Hayley storyline, and the Tina's murder and Rob's killer cover-up.
Now this is a tricky one for you, surely. Which one did you pick?
I think I voted for Hayley in the end, only because I thought that was more likely to win, and I wanted to say that I voted for the one that wins.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
glory
Tina's hunter. Tina's murder week was great, and Rob's trying to hide the fact that he was involved has been kind of entertaining to watch, although it's been dragged out
that's what a I little mean bit. If it had been condensed, I would be more into it, and if there was more, it was more tense and more high stakes, because really Rob's got nothing to worry about. As it stands right now, he's under no jeopardy at all.
Yeah.
No one suspects him. He's thrown all of the heat onto Peter and succeeded in getting him arrested. So really, Rob's killer cover-up was basically him just strolling around.
Not saying I did it, because that's about...
Peter up.
Yeah. But if you're talking about dragging out, like Hayley storyline did drag out just a little bit towards the end. Maybe some of that strawberry stuff not necessarily needed.
Wow.
And yeah, that's it. So you can go online to, what was that address again? insidesoap.co.uk and cast your vote. And if you fill in your details afterwards, you could even get invited to the ceremony. I don't know whether they'd invite people over from Canada, but if you're a Brit like us, then yeah, good luck about going to that.
Yeah,
I filled
good.
In our detail.
We didn't get invited.
It's only been a week. It's okay.
It's probably because they do listen. They probably do listen to the podcast and they know how I feel about it. But I'll come if you invite me.
You go to an awards ceremony if you go.
I'm
going
to turn down an opportunity to wear a pretty frock.
Yeah, we could even record a special podcast there
we're
as well.
Live from the red carpet.
We could. We could be on the red carpet. We're press,
we
kind
are
of.
Press. Why don't you sort it out? Bring them up.
Okay. Right. So that's it for the news. Let's just round off the episode with a bit of feedback. Okay, so a bit of feedback before we leave, and we did get some last week, this week, our sad predicament last week where we didn't get any feedback, and we had a bit of a sob story, and it worked because we got two emails this week.
Suckers.
First one from Tibor, who says that she enjoyed the Windass predicament last week. I think they've pretty much hit rock bottom. If Owen is now bankrupt, does the bank get to take the house? I know any other debts are written off, but what about the house?
Now, see, this is what I think, right? Yeah, it's awful to have the house taken off of you. That would be the worst thing for anybody. That's the only real downside I can see to being bankrupt. But at the same time, for example, our neighbour lived in a rented house and it was sold, but he's got to stay there and as a tenant. If they sold the house to another renter owner who wanted to just rent the property and take the money, then... possibly, although they probably won't do this in the show because it's not dramatic, the chances are it could just continue as it is.
With somebody else owning it.
If he tries to sell it as an ongoing sort of renting business.
He has been saying, oh, we could lose the house, but it's not happened, has it?
What I'm saying is...
Yeah, you're right. It could be that someone else gets the house and they just stay living there.
It's not like we would. If someone took our house away, they're not going to let us rent it because there's nothing set up like that.
No.
People aren't just going to come and sort of... do you a favour, we just have to go and live with the quails in my mum and dad's garden or something.
Tibor continued, Andrea must have no other friends but Steve.
True.
And to be fair, Neil has been going along all these years, head in the clouds and thinking everything is just fine and not noticing his wife isn't at all that happy. He gets a shock and is desperate to get her back, but it looks mighty pathetic seeing him beg over and over and seeing him lurking around, stalking, whining to Lloyd, insisting Lloyd give up Andrea. Just seems to me there must be a better way to mount this sort of campaign.
Lots of flowers and chocolate.
Is that the best way, is it?
And handbags. That's how you'd win Neil over.
Yeah, Neil is coming off as pretty pathetic.
He is. It really is not attractive, is it?
No.
He should have challenged Lloyd to a duel.
How did that storyline end in the end? Because we didn't get to see any of it this week.
She just slunk off.
Yeah, and sort of Neil's kind of victorious. Well, he hasn't got her back, but...
Well, he stopped Lloyd from having her back anyway.
Yeah, she'll be back.
Dvorak continues, I can believe that Deirdre has not told Ken anything about what's happened to Peter, the affair, the drinking and the arrest, but I can't believe that nobody else has had any communication with him whatsoever. Amy tried to Skype with him this week, but it couldn't have been the first time in over a year, and surely Tracy has been in touch with her father. I know it isn't realistic because the reason the character was off screen and for the storyline to be caught up and written and filmed, but it really is hard to believe.
Mm.
It is hard to believe, because why would Amy even know how to Skype in the first place unless she'd done it?
Yeah, exactly. She must have been having conversations with him. I mean, it's not necessarily the kind of thing that Amy would have talked to him about.
She's fairly young. You would
but...
have had to have actively told her not to mention it, because she would have said stuff like, oh, Rob's living with us now because Uncle Peter's gone to prison. Shh!
Maybe. But yeah, it doesn't really seem realistic. You're absolutely right. But it's all going to come out when Ken's back.
Oh, dear. He's going to have the shock of his life. I think it's just giving him a scene to... acting chops.
Yeah. Emily really was ace this week, and Yasmin certainly underestimated her. Good to see the old Emily back. Emily, at least, acknowledged that she'd seen Yasmin around the library. I'm surprised that Roy didn't seem to recognise her, given how much time he spent at the library over the years. Back some years, Yasmin was probably a regular librarian and had probably been working with the customers more closely, so they would have known her, Ken, as well.
Please let them write in something to do with the fact that they are not from Manchester or something like that. Otherwise it makes no sense.
Well, I don't know. She did say she recognised Craig today, didn't she?
Well, it's silly because sometimes they do this where they have characters that they introduce, but then they slot them in all over the place and make out that they knew people all along. But yeah, they've never been mentioned. Yeah. They don't need to do it like that. It's silly.
I wonder what people thought about this week when Emily backed down.
Yeah, Emily was a bit disappointing
by that. Mm. Yeah. And she finished off by talking about what we were saying last week about what's going to happen when, like, Ken, for example, gets too old to be in the role, and can they write him out without him, even though he's, like, got a job for life. And she says, the powers that be these days can insist that an ageing actor who is having health issues retire. From what I've heard, the actor that played Alf was really not well, and they were afraid he would collapse on the set. I think his retirement was more or less forced due to insurance reasons, and the actor then dropped dead on the street 6 weeks after his final appearance, where he died on screen. The last couple of years that Betty Driver was in the show, she was always sitting down because her legs were so bad that she couldn't stand long.
Sad, isn't it?
It is sad. I remember when Brian Moseley, who played Elf, died not long after he was on screen. It was really sad, and it was, at least, it's kind of died doing what you love.
Got to die something, that's the thing.
Yeah, but even him and Betty seem to be in a different league than Ken. I just don't know what they were. William Roach is still quite sprightly, isn't he? He doesn't seem like he's anywhere close
we'll
to
see,
needing
won't
to
we?
Retire.
When he comes back, we will see, because I can't believe it hasn't had an effect on him.
This past year, definitely.
This is probably one of the worst moments in his whole life. And it's been played out in public in the most humiliating way possible. So he must have extreme mental strength to be able to get through this. And it can have a physical effect on you. So I hope that he's in good shape and he's bounced back. But, I mean, we've seen before actors who've come back to the show and they haven't been prepared.
Like Michael Lavelle, I mean, he was only there for 3 or 4 weeks, then he was off. And then, I mean, it's obviously kind of different, but then when we had Julie Goodyear back for a couple of weeks, you can cope. But, I mean, he's been back working for 8, 9, 10 weeks or so now, and so far so good.
I guess the difference is, to him, the street is normal, and it's kind of, he needs, I guess you would say, I mean, I'm making up a lot of assumptions there about someone I don't know, but he probably, the routine is probably helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it's his life, and it has been his life since he was a teenager.
And like any of the other actors in the show, and it's probably not even an actor in the world who's had such
gig. There isn't. I think he's in the record books for it. So it is, I guess, for him, like going back to everyday normal life, going back to his family.
Clocking into the office.
Yeah.
I hope he'll be good.
And then we also got a Facebook message from Christina, who has a few points after listening to our last podcast. Firstly, she's quite confused as to why Anna and Owen still have the house, so same as T4. I know he remortgaged it to buy into the business with Phelan, so surely it would have been repossessed by the bank by now. So our listeners demand answers.
Don't know how banks work, I think, is the main problem that we all have. Yeah. How do banks work?
I don't know.
They just come and take stuff.
Christina says she enjoyed hearing our Uncle Albert backstory. I think we've got a couple of tweets from people who said they like that as well. I enjoyed talking about that. It was an interesting character, although, like we said, more interesting
most
about what he did before the programme started. But anyway, she says, I'd forgotten that he was not actually a blood relative of Ken's. I love your idea of the World War One spin-offs. Although Uncle Albert was not my favourite character, I did like him. So we've got a long-time viewer in Christina here.
Mm.
Not watching it longer than we have. The scene that mostly sticks in my mind was the aftermath of Ken, Deirdre, Mike love triangle, my most favourite storyline ever. I think that it was supposed to be the day after, and Ken and Deirdre were shouting at each other, and Ken told Deirdre to leave. I remember Deirdre packing a case. If I remember rightly, Tracy was sat on the stairs. Uncle Albert was sat on the bed looking really upset. I don't think that he actually spoke in that scene, but I remember thinking that my heart was breaking for him.
Aww.
Sometimes, particularly with some of those older actors, if the storyline is right, they can just look there looking kind of sad and deflated, and without saying a word, they can sort of really
pull on your heartstrings.
Yeah, I mean, the classic example of that was Hilda crying over Stan's glasses case after he died, and she didn't say a thing during that scene, but that's like in a lot of people's mind the most
powerful
scene that there's been. So her last point is about the non-story with the restorative justice storylines. So this is what we said in the news last week about somebody complaining that it was a silly storyline.
And they complained that it made them not want to seek restorative justice.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I commented on a post somewhere at the time that it is not good enough to just say that Corrie got the storyline wrong. We need to be told how they got it wrong. My one and only thought was, did the woman think that the criminal would start visiting her at home? Thankfully, Corrie is fictional and people should not be looking at it for facts.
There's one thing I learn. More and more I gain life experience is that you cannot anticipate the stupidity of people. Somehow, no matter how much you try to explain something or make it clear, someone's always going to get completely the wrong end of the stick and try to make your mug out of you over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine some sort of simpleton. I'm being really mean about this person because I've got no idea what she was thinking. I just can't imagine where she got the idea or what she was thinking. I think I agree with Christine. I would really like to know, what was she thinking? What was the problem? Was it about
this makes sense line? That she thinks that he's going to come and visit her at home, but there's no real reason to think that...
You're saying that would explain why she was mad?
That would
be the only reason why she would think that it was worth complaining about. But at the same time, how could you have watched that show and confused it with reality?
Mm. Well, people do, don't they?
Well, they do.
Yeah, some people even Idiots. Make podcasts about what it and talk about them morons. As if they're real people.
Silly billies.
Right, shall we call it a day then?
Yeah, I think we should, because I've got to go and
finish packing. We've got to go on holiday. We've got to go to France tomorrow.
In 8 hours' time, we've got to leave this house.
Yeah, we're leaving at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
And I haven't packed.
You've kind of packed. You get in there.
Oh.
We'll be okay.
Got lots of nail varnish.
We'll be okay. Well, I hear that there's some exciting things happening in Coronation Street next week, and we're going to have to wait and see.
Are you going to be able to avoid the spoilers, or are you going to look it up?
Well, I think I kind of know quite a bit about what's happening next week.
Oh, gosh.
But anyway, we'll binge watch Coronation Street when we get back. So we'll be back in time for next Friday's episode. Well, I hope you all enjoy what happens. If you've got any comments about this week's episode, or if you want to have a comment read out on next week's show about anything at all Corrie related, you can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com. You can go to conversationstreet.podbean.com and leave a comment on our blog there. You can tweet us. We're at Conversation Stew. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Conversation Street. And please, 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 if you haven't done so already, and that's a lot of you, review us on iTunes, because it would make us very happy if you did.
Yeah.
So that's it for now. Better get ready for our holiday, haven't we?
I've got to go and pack.
Do you want to say who our music was came from? Because you almost said it last week.
Music in this episode was provided by podcastthemes.com.
Perfect. See you next time.
Bye.